Life Giving Church International. There are so many things that we can be thankful for in spite of any news or any lying symptoms, whatever it is. In the name of Jesus, you are set free from the depression, from the oppression. You know, what happens to people in this world will not happen to you. The Bible says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but the evil will not come your dwelling place. So, Life Giving Church International, the Lord wants you to rest in the secret place of the Most High and dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. You are already in this place. You are already in Christ. The Lord has a guaranteed protection for you. Like Noah's family in the ark, everybody else outside was in perils, in panic. But everyone in Noah's ark is saved. Amen. So Life Giving Church International, the Bible says in the last days, as Jesus is going to come back soon, it shall be like the days of Noah, the Bible says. That means everyone in the ark of Noah, everyone in the church will be protected from all the calamities and dangers outside. We're living in a perilous times. We're living in dangerous times. But God wants to let you know that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled, because my shalom peace I give unto you. As you remain in the church, as you remain in the body of Christ. Amen, beloved of God. So, Life Giving Church International, there are so many things that we can be thankful. So we're going to sing this song one more time. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The lyrics is so simple. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Oh, oh, oh. And remember, beloved of God, when you feel the healing has not manifested in your life, don't wait until you are pain-free and then you begin to give thanks to the Lord. Many times when you begin to take that step of faith and you begin to give thanks to the Lord, even though the healing is still manifesting, you're not receiving 100% of your healing yet. Maybe it's only at the 70% level, and 30% you can still feel the discomfort. Well, God wants you to take the step of faith and just keep on thanking Him. Keep on thanking Him, because your healing is on its way. 100% healing. Amen. So this song, not just on Sundays, I'm teaching you this song that you can sing throughout this week. Amen. Whatever things that bothers you, just focus on worshiping the Lord with this simple song of thanking Him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's right, LGCI. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There it is. It's like a wind. The Holy Spirit is ministering to you. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are feeling warmth behind your back. Thank you, Jesus. That's the oil of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Touching your spine. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, there was the Holy Spirit playing the piano. It might be through my fingers, but it's like every note is saying, I love you. I care about you. I'm bearing witness that you are clean, not guilty anymore. All your sins are taken away. You are forgiven. That was the notes. Sometimes words fail to convey. Every note is saying, I love you, I care about you. You are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. God is good, amen, all the time, and all the time God is good. Hallelujah. Are you already experiencing the Holy Spirit moving? Amen. The Holy Spirit is already cleansing, you know, any part that needs to be cleansed. You know, just amazing God, amazing Savior. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just encouraged. You know, every time, you know, the Holy Spirit is just reminding us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. We are forgiven of all our sins. We are cleansed. We are righteous. Amen. We are, you know, the beloved of God. In fact, you know, the Bible uses a very endearing terms in the Bible. You know, the Bible says that you are the apple of His eye. Amen. It's like so, oh, you know, you are the apple of Jesus' eye. Amen. Before the enemy can hurt you, they will have to hurt Jesus' eyes first. In other words, you are protected. You are the apple of Jesus' eyes. You are so precious. You are so loved. And I just want to encourage you to let you know that no matter what happens, you are sheltered. You are protected. You are under the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible says that he who abides in the secret place of the Most High will rest under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm telling you that you are constantly in this secret place, especially when you need it the most, especially when you feel like you're not a good Christian, you feel like you fail, you feel like you're not, you know, as holy as you're supposed to be. I want to let you know exactly right there and then that the Holy Spirit wants to remind you that you are still in the secret place of the Most High. Because being in the secret place of the Most High simply means you are in Christ. It has nothing to do with your performance. It has nothing to do with you praying harder and all those things. It has everything to do with recognizing that you are not guilty anymore. You are righteous by the blood of Jesus, and you are already in Christ, secure, forever safe by the eternal salvation that we have obtained by grace through faith. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is so good. Hallelujah. I really believe that, you know, today, like I said, healings are going to be running ramparts today. All right. I do not know when your healing is going to manifest. Some of you receive the instantaneous miracles, healings. But some of you may experience that on Wednesday. You know, on Wednesday, all of a sudden, that migraine is like no more. And many times you don't realize that the problem is gone until you kind of like realizing, wait a minute, where did that migraine go? You know, many times we don't realize it. The healing is gonna manifest throughout this week, amen, at any given moment. So I just want you to be on this expecting mode, because the Holy Spirit is healing and ministering healing to each and every one of you. Under the sound of my voice, the Lord is healing you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we welcome your healings and your power that is working mightily in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I know that there's some people, you know, have been experiencing, you know, just a very awesome, abundant life this past Sunday. It's a wonderful, you know, week. It's a wonderful week. You don't have healing issues. Amen. You don't have health challenges. But I believe the Holy Spirit is prodding us to let us know, just because you don't have healing issues, just because you have good health, does not mean that you cannot become stronger. Amen. God wants you to be stronger. God wants you to be, you know, healthier. And so I want to encourage you, whatever state that you're in, we can always be stronger. We can always be healthier. We can always be receiving more of His abundance of grace and His gift of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to swim. Okay? Swim upwards. It's easy to swim downwards, okay? But to swim upwards, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to be, you know, based on our strength. It's going to be effortless. Our swimming upwards is not going to be based on our power. It's based on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are going to swim upwards and expecting, you know, our finance. Amen. Some of you might be dealing with financial situation. Well, God wants to bless your finance. Amen. God wants to bless your finance in such a way that, you know, you will not be worrying about your financial situation anymore. No matter how big of an expense that's coming up or that has happened, the Lord is your provider. God is your loving Heavenly Father that will always be faithful to provide for all your needs. One thing that we don't understand is that there's this term we call ourselves, we are an adult. That means I can take good care of myself. Okay? But in the eyes of God, you are always His beloved son. You are always His beloved daughter. You're not like a person without a father. You are a person who is well taken care of. Amen. No matter how well advanced in years you are, in the eyes of God, you are His darling daughter in whom He is well pleased. So when you live in this sonship mentality, okay, the need for you to take care of yourself is no more. It's not about you taking good care of yourself. It's about you trusting believing in the love of your Heavenly Father. Amen. So yes, we are an adult. Amen. But not in a sense where we become worried and bogged down because, man, I've got this big bill coming up. God says, I'll take care of that for you. Amen. The Lord will provide for all of our needs, no matter what happens. And I just want to let you know that God is faithful to us, always faithful. No matter what happens, He will always be faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Man, I love the Holy Spirit moving spontaneously this morning. Amen. It was just the Holy Spirit ministering in a quiet and gentle way. We may not have people screaming and yelling and all those things. Nothing wrong with that, okay? But many times those are just people's reaction. They're not necessarily the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very poised. The Holy Spirit is you know, full of you know, sound mind, and the Holy Spirit will always be, you know, making sure that things are done in good order. Did you know that? God does not want things to be out of order. And so that's the part that, you know, in the book of Corinthians, to the church of Corinthians, Apostle Paul was warning the church of Corinthians, wait a minute, if you all speaking in tongues out loud, and here comes people, you know, new to the church, won't they say that you are mad? Okay, so and then people misconstrued that and says, we're not supposed to be praying in tongues. When all it is Apostle Paul was exhorting the church, look, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Wow. Now you know, one of the powerful secrets of Apostle Paul, why he had such a powerful ministry and successful life, is the fact that he said, you know what? I prayed in tongues more than you all. But in the church, he said, I would rather speak five words that people can understand what I'm talking about than 5,000 words in tongues. But it does not mean that we're not praying in tongues. But everything needs to be done in a proper order. There's got to be order. Amen? So we are so thankful to know that the Holy Spirit, you know, is moving mightily. Even at the sound of my voice right now, just because the music is already off does not mean that the Holy Spirit stopped working. The Holy Spirit is working right now, healing every part of your body. Again, like I said, the Holy Spirit touches even to the smallest part of your body. The cells, down to the cellular levels of your body. The Holy Spirit is repairing. The Lord is rejuvenating your strength. The Lord is rejuvenating your youth. Your cells are like being renewed in its youthfulness, becoming younger. You're becoming healthier. That is what's happening right now. Now, you may not always feel that immediately, not until again on Wednesday or sometime during the week. It's because of the good word of Christ that you are digesting today. How many of you know that when you eat that chicken meat, all right, the benefits of that protein does not happen necessarily at that moment, not until on Monday or Tuesday that protein begins to kick in and you don't even realize the benefit of what you just ate. The same thing. Every time you come to church, you're hearing the word of Christ, which is more important than any physical food that you can eat. It is the word of Christ. It is the word of the gospel. And so I endeavor to listen to the word of Christ, not just on Sundays. I listen to the gospel of Jesus, our righteousness, every single day to be encouraged, to be nourished. Because I know men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is so very good. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, all of you in this place, amen, the Lord is very proud of you. The Lord is very pleased with you. Not because of your performance, but because of your faith in Jesus. Amen. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, as long as you fix your eyes on Jesus, everything is gonna be okay. Amen. Just fix your eyes on Jesus. Let Jesus be your preoccupation. Amen. And we've learned how to reign in life is by receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Amen. The more you have that grace and the gift of righteousness to see your righteousness that is currently sitting at the right hand of God, who is Jesus, the more your life will be conformed to the same image. Because you become what you see. You see what I'm saying? You know, the more you see Jesus, the more Christ in you will manifest more and more from your born-again spirit, touching every part of your soul, and then from your soul, it will touch every part of your body. That's how the divine healing, if you will, works in the kingdom of God, is from the inside out. It comes from your born-again spirit, and then it touches your soul, and then once it touches your soul, your body is going to experience life and life more abundantly. So the problem many times is the middle guy. The spirit is not an issue. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is born again. Your spirit does not want to be depressed. Your spirit does not want to think about the negative things. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit desires what the Holy Spirit desires. Okay? But the problem is the middle guy. The middle guy is the soul part of us. That's where our mind, will, emotions, as well as our conscience resides, is in our soul. Apostle Paul says, I don't want you to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice that he did not say by the renewing of your spirit. It's by the renewing of your mind, and your mind is part of your soul. So Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to be renewed in your mind so that you may know what the will of God is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And God wants you to know that He has nothing but good in store for you. Amen. God has nothing but life and peace in store for you. And all of that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus not only is sitting at the right hand of the Father, but the Bible says that Jesus Christ lives in you. So He is both sitting at the right hand of God, and He is also living in you. You have Jesus Christ in you. Amen. If you have received Jesus Christ into your life, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God resides in you. Jesus Christ is in you. Okay? Now, for that Jesus Christ in you to manifest from your spirit into your soul, you need to be renewed in your mind. Like what you're doing right now, you're hearing the word of Christ and you are being renewed. And that's how the transformation happens, is whenever you hear the gospel of Jesus, our righteousness, who's not only sitting at your right hand as your righteousness, but He's now in you. Jesus Christ is in you. And as a result, man, when you are in sync with the reality of who you are, which is one with the one who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, man, you don't have to go to heaven to experience heaven on earth life. Did you hear what it just said? Amen. Jesus is now living in heaven. But his prayer was, when he was here on earth, he said, Father, I pray that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So we don't have to go to heaven to experience that reigning in life that Jesus wants us to live, because now Jesus Christ lives in us. And the more that I fix my eyes on Jesus, the more Jesus Christ in me will manifest more and more in my soul. And when my soul is prospering more and more, my body also will prosper more and more. Because that's how the kingdom of God works. It's from the spirit into the soul and then into the physical body. Now, once in a while, yes, you want people to lay hands on you from the outside in. That is helpful as well. But God's norm is something that happens from the inside out. So you don't have to rely on people laying hands on you all the time. You know what I'm saying? You can receive constantly the healing, the health that you need, because Jesus Christ is already in you. All the healing that you need is already in you. And now it's a matter of allowing your soul guy, that middle guy, to be in agreement with Jesus, to be in agreement with the good report that you are the healed, you are the healthy, and by the way, you are also the wealthy one. I don't care, people may not like my preaching. Well, you are one of those health and wealth gospel preacher. Man, I would rather being accused as the health and wealth gospel preacher than to be the preacher of sickness and poverty. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, God wants us to prosper, not just in your body. God wants you to prosper in your bank account. Amen. And the more you realize the righteousness of Jesus that's already in you, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm telling you, once the favor of God is on you, you're going to have a good problem. Too many customers calling you, okay? You're going to have a good problem. You know, you just don't have enough people to take care of the customers that's coming. Amen? That's why God does not want to prosper us immediately so quickly, because many people, you know, they don't have the foundation of Jesus as their righteousness, and then they get immediate success, and then they stop coming to church, or they stop, you know, listening to the gospel. They are so busy with work, they neglect, you know, their source of their wealth, and before they know it, you know, it's just going to drain out. God does not want to give a blessing that is on and off, on and off, on and off. God wants you to be consistently blessed. God wants you to be consistently blessed. That's why He wants us to possess the promised land little by little, not all at one shot. It's little by little. God wants you to possess your promised land. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, that was a good appetizer. Amen. That was a good appetizer. You know, from the start of the service, we saw the Holy Spirit moving mightily. You know, healings were happening, you know, left and right. It was running rampant, but in a gentle and loving way. Amen. You may not see people screaming again and all those things, but again, the Holy Spirit is already working. Amen. Don't be surprised, amen, when you do your blood tests or whatever. Okay, whatever the negative report that was there previously is no more, because the Holy Spirit was the one who healed you today. Amen. The healing power of the Holy Spirit. And then how, you know, the Holy Spirit reminded us of how we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And the more Jesus Christ in us manifesting more and more, amen, all the crud in our soul also will be being pushed out of the way, and nothing can stop you from receiving the health and the wealth, amen, and all the blessings that God wants you to enjoy. Because this is the promise of God. He did not say, I come to give you laws and more rules and more burdens. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. How can you enjoy life if you're sick on your bed all the time? How can you enjoy life if you don't have enough money to provide for your family? God wants to take a good care of you. God wants to prosper you, not just in your health, but also in your financial area once again. Amen. And beyond just the health and wealth, God wants you to prosper in your family relationships, with your children, children with their parents, and brothers with sisters, with uncles and aunties, relatives. God wants to bless your relationship. God wants to give you harmony in your relationships. That's part of the blessing of God. The Bible says, lover and acquaintances you have kept far away from me. That's in Psalm 88. Okay, that's a messianic psalm to say when Jesus hung there on the cross, lover and acquaintances were kept far away from him, so that today you will never have to be lonely, so that you can always have a lover, you can always have acquaintances, family members around you, because even the blessings of relationships, having a harmonious family, harmonious relationships, have all been purchased by Jesus Christ. Amen. At the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are so blessed. Father, how can I say thank you enough for such a wonderful, wonderful truth that you've shared with us? Thank you, Father. We are so blessed. Now, we're going to, you know, get ready for part 35. Amen. Part 35 of Jesus, Our Righteousness series. Now, I encourage you, if you miss last Sunday's sermon, to listen to that message again, amen, at lgci.info or through CDs, if you have the CDs. And it was just a powerful message that gives us a strong foundation, all right? Because we need to have the right doctrine, the right sound teaching for us to have the right living. Wrong believing will produce wrong living. But the right believing will always produce the right living. Because this is something that Jesus himself said. You know how you can tell a tree is a good tree or a bad tree? Look at the fruit. Because, you know, a bad tree cannot produce a good fruit. So when something is not working in our lives, it's time for us to ask the Holy Spirit and says, Lord, what kind of wrong believing, the wrong bad tree in my life that is producing this fruit that I don't want in my life? And we need the Holy Spirit's revelation of Jesus and His finished work more and more, especially through what you're going to hear today, Jesus, Our Righteousness, Part 35, to uproot all that bad tree so that we don't have to deal with the bad fruits. Because Jesus said, you will know whether it's a good tree or not by the fruits. Amen. Hallelujah. So today we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to uproot any wrong believing in our lives, maybe because of past teachings, or maybe because we're not searching the scripture ourselves and we're just, you know, assume that this is the case without asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit today to help us to get rid of all the bad trees in our lives. Amen? I mean, we're not interested in behavior modification. We're interested in heart's transformation. If you want to have a real good fruit, it has to start with a good root. Amen? And that root is always all about Jesus and not based on our performance. It's all about Jesus who has fulfilled the law. It's all about Jesus who said, you know, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The law will make you tired. Amen. Performance will make you tired. But Jesus said, if you come to me, I will rest your soul. And when your soul is resting, healing will be flowing. And when healing is flowing, your body is going to receive all the health and healing that God wants you to experience. Amen. So we are so dependent on the Holy Spirit more and more for part 35 here. Because there's going to be an important doctrinal, that means it's a basic foundational teaching doctrine that we've got to have a good root so that we can produce the good fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the book of Romans is the Magna Carta of Christianity. If you don't understand the doctrines firmly established in the book of Romans, then, you know, you might be living like a person who's not redeemed by the blood of Jesus, like a person who lives still under the blood of animals, the blood of bulls and goats. But when you become firmly rooted in the gospel that Apostle Paul preached, and the book of Romans is, again, the Magna Carta for Christianity. It's like the pillars of truth. If you don't have the strong foundation in the book of Romans, you know, it's going to be hard to be able to advance to the next level. Amen? So it's going to be a very basic foundational doctrinal truth today. And I pray that we all would humble ourselves today. We're going to take the time right now and ask the Holy Spirit to anoint our hearts and our ears. Don't let this be just another Sunday. I think we can say, Lord, I'm tired of the bad fruits in my life. I don't want any bad fruits. I don't want any bitter taste in my mouth no more. Jesus paid a dear price. So the least I can do is allow my heart to be persuaded. Lord, I humble myself. There could have been some junk doctrine that I believe in the past that's producing all kinds of junk in my life. I don't want that, Lord. I want you to get rid of that and give me a fresh new eyes today by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So join with me to pray. And I want you to pray, you know, especially for my mouth today. Because, I mean, these are supernatural truths. I cannot reveal it to you by my human knowledge. It's got to be supernatural anointing of the Holy Spirit to produce the supernatural results. So we're going to be in agreement right now. We're going to pray for Pastor Henry, amen, to release the knowledge of the truth that will produce the good trees in our lives, that will produce good fruits in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. So Father, right now we just humble ourselves before you. Father, I pray that you anoint Pastor Henry's mouth and you anoint, Father God, the teachings and the preachings today. It's not about, you know, let's just do another sermon before, you know, we enjoy our barbecue and stuff like that. It's just enjoying the time right now of feasting in what the Holy Spirit has for us, but through the earthen vessel of Pastor Henry. Anoint Pastor Henry's mouth and heart so that it will all be what the Holy Spirit wants to share, with no pollution of men's doctrine or some traditional ideas that may have held us back in the past. In the name of Jesus, anoint Pastor Henry's mouth. And I pray for everyone, including my audience online, to be anointed in their ears so that they too can experience life and life more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm ready. Next. All right, this is from Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Amen. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So, according to this verse, how can a Christian be still dominated by sin? It's when a Christian put herself under law. And notice in this verse, there is no definite article, the law. In the Bible, when you see the law, it's referring to the Ten Commandments. Here, it's just saying, you are not under law. That means, even beyond the Ten Commandments, you are no longer under whatsoever law. Even the law
that you imposed on yourself. God says you are no longer under law. And that's the key for Christians today to no longer be dominated by sin. Do you understand? So the more you hear the preaching of grace, the more you hear the preaching of God's unconditional love and grace, the more sin will have no dominion over you. Amen. So you've got to be established in this. Grace is not a licentious message for people to live in sin. Based on this verse, I have just proven to you that when sin does not have dominion in your life, it's when the person is not under law. One more time. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now, question, what does it mean to be under grace? What does it mean to be under grace? You are under grace, listen, whenever you live under the constant awareness of your Heavenly Father's love for you. Listen very carefully. It may sound like I know that in my Sunday school, Jesus loves me, this I know. But this is what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you. If you live under a consciousness of God's love for you, Jesus' love for you, that's one practical way of you being under grace. Powerful truth. In such a simple, powerful ways, when you live under the constant awareness that your Father is loving you every step of the way, that is how you are under grace, beloved of God. When you are conscious of Jesus watching over you, loving you, forgiving you when you messed up, washing your feet when your feet gets dirty by the condemnation and the fears of life, instead of, man, how come you sin again? No, it's the Jesus that washes your feet. The Jesus that says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. The Jesus that constantly says, come to me, I will rest you. If you live under this constant consciousness of your Father's love for you, that's how you practically are under grace. So how do you know that you're not under grace? When you feel that God is angry with you, when you feel that God is not pleased with you because of that wrong thoughts just now. Being under grace means, in spite of my wrong thoughts, in spite of my wrong behaviors, my Father is still there to love on me unconditionally on the basis of Jesus' righteousness, on the basis of His blood that was shed for me. When you know how much Jesus loves you, He took all of your punishments so that today there's no more condemnation for you. Because it will be unjust for God to punish you again for the same sin that He had already punished upon the body of your brother. Amen. Do you understand? Being under grace is to be hearing like the messages you're hearing right now. To be constantly reminded, yes, the circumstance right now doesn't look very promising. Yes, the situation right now, you have not seen the light at the end of the tunnel, as it were. Yes, it seems to be a very difficult situation. But you know what? When you are under grace, even the time of waiting to see that light at the end of the tunnel is going to be a time where you will still be experiencing the love of your Heavenly Father that's still holding your hands and say, I'm not letting you go. Don't be afraid. Especially moments like this, when you really, really need me the most, you can rest assured
that Daddy loves you, that I am still right beside you, especially in moments of darkness when you really need me the most. Now, if you are conscious of this, if you are constantly aware of your Father's love for you and His constant presence in your life, in spite of a difficult situation, guess what? You are under grace, and sin will not have dominion over you. Did you hear what the Holy Spirit is teaching us today? It's like going back to Christianity 101. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's like, Lord, how come such deep revelation? It takes a childlike faith to be able to receive it, because the kingdom of God belongs to little children. God says, you see all these little children? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, He did not tell us to become childish. He tells us, unless you can have a faith like a little child that's leaning on the bosom of her father, you cannot enjoy the wonderful fruits of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's got to be that constant dependency on the love of your Heavenly Father. Like you're saying, Daddy, I trust in your love for me. I trust that everything will be okay. Do you like that song? Everything will be okay. Daddy, I believe everything will be okay. I'm just going to lean on your shoulders, and you trust in His love for you. That is being under grace, when you're constantly conscious of His love for you, especially when you fail, that He still constantly assures you, your sins, your iniquities, I will remember no more because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What a wonderful truth. Do you love the Holy Spirit's teaching today? I mean, sometimes, you know, there are doctrines that try to, it's more like sensationalism rather than the basic truth that Jesus loves me. You know, sometimes there are doctrines that trying to just gain people's attention, but it's not what the Holy Spirit is teaching. The Holy Spirit is using such a simple truth that you already know in your heart. You already know in your heart, but it takes, you know, the Holy Spirit using an earthen vessel like Pastor Henry to kind of like bring back unto remembrance, to cause that truth to blossom again. You know, my Father loves me. My Father cares for me. But circumstances in life is preaching otherwise. I need Pastor Henry to remind me again, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that I am His beloved daughter in whom He is well pleased. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing today. No sensationalism, you know, doctrine, no doctrine that's kind of like just to try to draw the crowds. It's just the simple, plain, basic truth that your Father, your Heavenly Father loves you, and your brother, Jesus, loves you. Simple, basic truth. That's how you're being under grace. Amen. It's not about your performance. It's not about, you know, praying harder. It's not about, let's all fast more, beg and plead God more. It's none of that. It's a simple, basic truth. Be aware, be conscious, be living in this reality that no matter what happens, my Father is always with me and watching over me. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, your security is not in the social security. Amen. Hallelujah. Your security is in your Father, your Heavenly Father, that will take a good care of you. Amen. Your security is not even in your children or grandchildren. They're not your security. Your security is your loving Heavenly Father that will take a good care of you.
Amen.
You are so secure.
And the more you realize this, you are under grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I got to listen to that. That was really good. I want to be encouraged by the word of the Holy Spirit today. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is so good. Hallelujah. Father, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Okay, everybody take a deep breath. That was good. That was good. Lord, I think we can move to the next one. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like almost like, oh man, it was like a blissful moment. It's like, man, all my muscles are so relaxing right now. I wish every day is a Sunday like this. You know, it's like, wow, amazing. When the Holy Spirit's anointing is flowing, man, you are being healed. Even right now, your soul is prospering under the sound of my voice. I command all pain to leave in Jesus' name. All strenuous muscles be gone in Jesus' name. Be replaced with relaxed muscles in Jesus' name. I see arthritis. People with arthritis are being healed. The Lord is lubricating your joints. The Lord is lubricating your bones in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, any dryness in your bones, the Lord is just, you know, is just washing you with the rivers of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your muscles are going to be more relaxed. It's not going to be tensed up this next week. This next 7 days, everyone under the sound of my voice, the Holy Spirit is healing you. Bone issues, the joint pains, that kind of thing. In Jesus' name, receive your healing. Amen. Even a week from now, when you hear this message, the power is still going to work for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is so good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay, what do you have next, Holy Spirit? This is Romans 6:15. So still within the flow of sin shall not have dominion in your life because you're not under law but under grace. The next verse, this is Romans 6:15 from Young's literal translation. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Let it not be. Okay, now look at the word sin there. This is the only time in the book of Romans the word S-I-N there is in the verb. So yes, we want to live our lives in such a way that we bring glory and honor unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to live a life that is set apart, holy. Why? Because now you have the root now. You have the good foundation now. Amen. It's no longer live holy, live holy. Otherwise, God's going to get you. That kind of stuff. It's more like, look, because you are no longer under law, but you are under grace, sin has no dominion in your life. What's the fruit of that? Romans 6:15. Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Let it not be. Now you can be, let it not be. Amen. You can live a holy life. You can be, let it not be to some of the old bad habits that I used to do. Why? Because you're no longer under the dominion of sin because you're now under grace. Amen. So again, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Let it not be. Amen. And it's not you who let it not be. It's the grace of God that will teach you to live a holy life, a godly life in this present world. So it's not by your self efforts. It's not by your own willpower. Let it not be. It's the work of the Holy Spirit as you allow the grace of God to reign in your life. You just enjoy the ride. The Holy Spirit is the one that will fight the flesh. Because the flesh is always wanting what's contrary to what the Holy Spirit desires, so that you will not be doing what you want to do. The flesh wants this way, the Holy Spirit wants this way. And the key is not to use your own self-efforts to help the Holy Spirit. You are supposed to be a spectator. Let the Holy Spirit fight the flesh. The mistake for many Christians is they try to help the Holy Spirit, and then their own self-efforts got in the way, and then they're back under the dominion of sin again, because the Holy Spirit is not strong enough to handle my flesh. Again, the flesh is always contrary to what the Holy Spirit desires. Your part is to rest and just be on the side of the Holy Spirit without trying to help the Holy Spirit. Amen. You just allow the Holy Spirit to fight the battle for you. Because the battle is the Lord's. The victory is yours. It's not by your willpower. Your victory is found when you let the Holy Spirit fight the flesh. You don't fight the flesh. The more you fight the flesh, the more the flesh loves it. Awesome. Because you are the weakest link in the chain. Okay? But when the opponent is the Holy Spirit, the flesh has to kowtow to the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you just keep on hearing. Your part is just hearing messages like what you're hearing today. Jesus, our righteousness. Shall we continue to live in sin? Or it says, shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Let it not be, Holy Spirit. Let it not be. The battle is yours. The victory is mine. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. I hope I made myself clear here. This is not trying to teach you use your self-efforts to be holy. No. It's allowing the Holy Spirit, okay, to fight the flesh. You enjoy the fruit of that holy living. So that all glory be unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Okay. This is the part that you may need to listen to it twice to get it. You may not get it the first time around on this one, okay? Because even well-known ministers missed it on this one. So you listen to this very carefully. This is Romans chapter 6, verse 16, from Young's Literal Translation, as well as Romans 6, 17, King James Version Bible, okay? Again, I'm just going to dive in deep. Alright? If the Holy Spirit says, listen to it again. You get the CD, get the MP3, listen to it again. Because it's going to set you free. It's really going to set you free. Like I said, wrong doctrine will cause bondage in your life. And it will produce the bad fruit. Because good tree cannot produce bad fruit. So we're going to have a good tree today by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The right believing will produce the right living. Okay. Have ye not known that to whom ye present yourselves servants for obedience, servants ye are to him to whom ye obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? Okay. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Let me read it one more time because this is deep. Have ye not known that to whom ye present yourselves servants for obedience, servants ye are to him to whom ye obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? Okay, here's the part that some people misunderstood what Apostle Paul is saying, and a lot of Christians, they missed it. They're saying here that this is the typical teaching, is that if you yield yourself to sin, you will die. That's the the traditional way, or even non-traditional way. Some non-traditional Christians still believe that Apostle Paul is saying here, if you yield yourself to sin, you will die. Now, if we believe that is what Apostle Paul is teaching here, then it's like we're negating the whole thing that Apostle Paul was trying to build all the way from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, to let you know today that, you know, because today, where sin increased, grace superabounded, so that just as sin did reign in death, so that today grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life. It's like negating almost the whole point of the gospel. If this is telling us, don't become a servant of sin, because if you yield yourself to sin, you will die. We go back under the performance again, where again we are to expect to bear our own death, our own punishment for the sins and the mistakes that we have done. Do you understand what I'm trying to get here? Because this is, when you read it on a surface level, it appears to be that's what it's saying, but that's not what the Holy Spirit is saying. Okay? And look at the part that I kind of color-coded there. It's saying whether of sin to death. That is one phrase. That's why I'm showing you in the literal translation, the way that Apostle Paul wrote it. Okay, that's one phrase, sin to death. Okay? And then, or of obedience to righteousness, also is one phrase, obedience to righteousness. So, on one hand, you've got sin to death, right here. And then on the other hand, you've got obedience to righteousness. Now, when you keep on reading further in verse 17, I'm going to prove to you that what he is trying to explain here is the doctrine, the form of teachings, if you will. One is the doctrine of sin to death, and the other one is the doctrine of obedience to righteousness. So, sin to death doctrine, obedience to righteousness on the other hand. When you keep on reading further in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. How can death still have power over you? Because it says you were servants of sin. That means you are no longer a servant to sin. But Pastor, I just had a wrong thought this morning. Yeah, but that does not mean you are a servant to sin. Amen. And you don't have to be expecting death to happen in your life because of your sin anymore. Because the Bible makes it clear, you were servants to sin. Amen. You were servants to sin, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Say form of doctrine. Form of doctrine. Form of doctrine which was delivered you. So sin to death here is not saying when you sin, you still have to die. He's saying, look, I've been trying to preach to you this gospel truth that today, if you believe in Jesus, you can receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And even when sin increased, I have superabounding grace for you, so you don't have to die because of that sin. Are you going to believe this obedience to righteousness doctrine? Or are you going to believe this sin to death doctrine? The same doctrine that even people in the old covenant believe. If I sin, I die. As if Jesus did not die for us. As if there is no Savior. So I want you to be set free today, beloved God, to let you know. Are you going to submit yourself to this doctrine of sin to death, believing that when you sin, you still have to bear your own death, as if Jesus did not die for you? Or are you now going to believe in the doctrine of obedience to righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done? Amen. I hope it's clear today. It came out really good. You know, it came out really good. I think it's very plain. It's very, very clear now. Amen? You don't have to be a super Greek scholar to understand this, because the Bible was written for ordinary people. You don't have to have a master's degree in theology, in Greek, to understand this. God makes it simple. Okay? Are you gonna believe the old doctrine of sin to death? Or are you gonna believe this form of doctrine now? Obedience to righteousness. That you are righteous today by faith in Jesus Christ. And when you sin, does not mean that you become a servant to sin. Because you were a servant to sin. You are no more the servant to sin. That's why you don't have to receive the death that comes because of your sin anymore. Amen. I mean, this will produce the good fruits in your life. Well, Pastor, if you're telling people they can just go ahead and sin and they won't be punished with death, then more people are going to sin some more. Not according to the Bible. The Bible says that sin shall not have dominion in your life because you're not under law, but under grace. So the more you are under grace, knowing that there's now no condemnation, the more sin shall not have dominion in your life. Amen. Am I going to believe the men's traditional ideas of doctrines? Or am I going to believe what the scripture says today in a new covenant, that sin shall not have dominion in your life as long as you are not under law, but under grace? So when you're under grace, you live in a constant awareness of your Father's love for you. Even when you sin, that penalty, that death has been paid at the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. You no longer have to accept the death. You no longer have to accept the sickness. You no longer have to accept the diseases. Will that cause you to desire, yippee, let me just sin some more? No. It will cause you to go down to your knees and say, Father, you are so good to me. You love me in spite of my mistakes. That's what the grace of God will do. And that's what the traditional ideas of men that is trying to keep us from living a life that is fruitful consistently because of what Jesus has already done. Amen. I hope everyone, including my audience online here, are all set free today. Remember, we don't have to subscribe to become a servant of sin by still believing this doctrine of sin unto death. But believe that we are now under grace, that I am under this doctrine of obedience to righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. So, beloved of God, that pain be gone in the name of Jesus. You don't have to receive the death, the pain, because any sin in your life, because God says you are now in the form of doctrine of obedience unto righteousness. In Jesus' name, receive your healing. That pain, in the name of Jesus, you've got to go. In Jesus' name, we are no longer a servant of sin. We are no longer subscribing to sin unto death doctrine like the people in the old covenant. We are now subscribing to the obedience unto righteousness that comes by faith only in what Jesus has done, that will provide me with life and life more abundantly. Whatever life that you need in your pocketbook, in your career, okay, in your family, not just health and healing, but in all areas of your life. Once you have this right believing, the good fruits will begin to manifest in your life. No more bad fruits. Amen? Hallelujah. So, beloved of God, how we are so in need of the Holy Spirit to get rid of the old traditional teachings of men that make the Word of God to have no effect. Sometimes I see a Christian's life and a non-believer's life. Sometimes I cannot tell the difference. I'm not talking about you all here, okay? I'm talking about there are other people, other Christians, not in our church, but I see their life and the people who are not born again is like hardly any difference. Why? Not because Jesus' work was not effective, not because the person was not born again, but because the person does not have the revelation of obedience unto righteousness. Amen? Like what you all are enjoying today. Amen. So with that, I've done what I can.
Amen.
Amen. As a good steward of the mysteries of God.
Amen.
To reveal unto you in ways that are plain. Don't allow old traditional doctrines of men to hold you back from experiencing a fruitful life. A life that will produce good fruits for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us so much. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time God is so very, very good. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We are so blessed. Thank you. Holy Spirit, you have heard our prayers. I could not have done it without you. This is something that even many who are in the solid understanding of grace still miss. But by your grace today, we can know the truth that will set us free. No longer in bondage of believing in the wrong doctrine. That when we sin today, we have to die. But that we believe, even when we sin today, because we subscribe to the obedience unto righteousness, Jesus' perfect obedience at the cross, we can still experience life and life more abundantly. And only the good shall happen for me and my church and my family. I refuse all evil. I refuse all forms of death. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have no hold over my family. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. You are the one who is able to seal the word so that you become a deeper and deeper revelation. All it is an expression of your love for us, how you love us unconditionally on the righteous foundation of the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are not guilty anymore today. We are not filthy anymore. And today we can experience life and life more abundantly, more and more, because of what Jesus has done. Our faith is only in you, Lord, so that we can have the fruits of holiness, living a life worthy of our vocation by having the good roots of Jesus, our righteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Now I want to speak to my audience who may not have made Jesus Christ your Savior. You have never been born again by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your righteousness. I want you to pray this prayer with me and pray from your heart. When you believe, the Bible says, and you speak, amen, that's how you can be justified and receive your salvation. In the name of Jesus, whoever you are, pray this simple prayer with me to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because your eternal destiny lies on this most important decision that you ever make in your life, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for all my sins. So that today, when I sin, I'm no longer a servant of sin that will lead me unto death. But today, when I sin, I can receive your superabounding grace and the gift of no condemnation, so I can go and sin no more. Come into my life. You died and rose again for me, so I can enjoy life and life more abundantly. The resurrection life belongs to me. I don't have to go to heaven to enjoy that resurrection life. I can enjoy life on earth as it is in heaven, starting today, as I accept you into my life as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, church, I want you to stand up. I'm going to speak blessings over you throughout this week. The Lord bless you. The Lord makes His face shine on you. The Lord protects your driving throughout this week. The Lord will keep you safe from all harms and dangers. The Lord guards your cardiovascular, your heart. Literally, your cardiovascular is protected with the health of Jesus Himself. The same heartbeat that is beating in the heart of Jesus is the same heartbeat that your heart is beating in the name of Jesus. Your heart is healthy, well and whole. You are protected from all cancers. You are protected from all tumors. You are protected from diabetes. You are protected from bad cholesterol levels. And the Lord will give you wisdom on what to eat, what not to eat. The Lord bless your going out and your coming in. He makes His face shine on you. You are blessed, greatly blessed. You are favored, highly favored, and you are loved, deeply loved. Be blessed and be so healthy and be so wealthy as you allow part 35 of Jesus Our Righteousness to become a deeper and deeper revelation in your life by the help of the Holy Spirit.